Hello and welcome to the Bob Marley Ghost Show. This is 106.1 FM on your radio dial and 106 and KQRP.com on the internet. Again, welcome to the Bob Marley Ghost Show. Thank you for tuning in. The opinions expressed in this particular program are not necessarily those of the management. We can get that clear right from the get-go. Part of my show is designed to balance some of the information, propaganda, charges, innuendo, or whatever, of the far right. I happen to be on the left. Now, I do think and agree that Americans need to come to a more central political stance overall and to spend less time paying attention to the extreme left and the extreme right. Some of my positions you may consider extreme left. I don't think so, but you'll have to be the decision, the decider of that. In any event, I watched a program last night on TV regarding torture by the Israelis against the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. And it was a very, very disturbing program, the purpose of which was to show things that you'll never see on the corporate media, things that really need to be discussed and shown, but which are not. And I'll give you some examples, some disturbing examples. Practically every child, or not, let's take it back. No, that wasn't correct. Almost every adult in the Gaza have been imprisoned by the Israelis at one time or another. Almost everybody. And they imprison a lot of children. You say, well, these people probably deserve to be in prison because maybe they shot at the Israelis or they threw rocks at them or they screamed at them or whatever. Well, maybe they do. I don't know. But I find it hard to believe that the treatment that these Palestinians in the Gaza Strip are subjected to is any better than what the Nazis did to the Jews in Germany. With the exception of being gassed, there are very few differences. And I'll give you some examples. The adults, when they're taken in, they're not necessarily charged with anything. They're held for long periods of time without any opportunity to have a lawyer state their case or to be brought before a court. They're just thrown in prison, and there they are tortured. And I don't mean simple tortures. They are beaten. They are shocked. They are hung upside down. They are exposed to music that is so loud that it hurts their eardrums. They are tied to chairs that have the front legs shorter than the back so that they have to lean forward. They cannot sit up straight. And then their heads are covered with sacks that have been saturated with human feces or human urine. Sometimes they have plastic bags put over their face so that they can't breathe. And just as they're about to pass out, the bags will be removed in an effort to get some kind of information from them. They will be handcuffed with their hands behind their back to a railing where they have to stand up for hours and hours and hours. They cannot sit down, and if they kneel, it practically takes the arms out of the sockets at the shoulder. So they stand there for hours on end, and pretty soon the blood pools in their legs and their legs begin to swell. And this one guy says, my legs hurt so bad and were so swollen, I thought that I was going to lose my legs. And the same thing is true for tying of their hands. They tie their hands so tightly that eventually they lose all feeling in them except for pain, and they become swollen, and they think, hey, I'm going to have my hands removed because of this. Horrible torture. And not just the adults, but children. And I saw something that just turned my stomach. The Israelis had a captive on the side of this hill, a very rocky hill, and there were four Israelis. Two of them had this young man. One had him around the upper torso, and the other one had his hand holding his arm out, and he picked up a huge rock and hit him in the elbow very hard. Broke his arm. Just broke it. And then he's on the ground, and they're beating him on the back with that big rock. Just beating him mercilessly. Now that upset me a lot. I don't know why they were beating him. I don't think any individual deserves that. I can't think of a circumstance that deserves that. And the children that they incarcerate, they have a special prison for them. They put them in these holding cells, three to a cell sometimes, the cell being 3 meters by 3 meters. That's 9 feet by 9 feet. Three kids in there. And the ceiling is so low that they either have to squat or remain lying down. And they are kept in those cells and sometimes kept in them for years. And they get like 15 minutes out of their cell in a year. Kids. Kids are treated this way. They're boarded. They're waterboarded. They're subject to all forms of torture. And I don't think torture is the way to treat an adversary. I don't care if it's an Israeli adversary, a Palestinian adversary, an Iraqi adversary, an American adversary, or whomever. It's just despicable. And it's something that needs to be stopped. America is pretty much supporting Israel on just about everything. And there are some reasons for that. Of course, we have a lot of persons of Jewish religion who are around the president and who have his ear and that he pays attention to. And many of the policies that we have towards Israel are designed by them. And I think it might be a time for a change. What do you think? Well, you can find out more about what's going on over there with this torture by going to this website. Be ready. Get your pencils and papers. The website is http://www.alternatefocus.com. Alternate focus being one word. So again, that's http://www.alternatefocus.com. A lot of Americans do not know that this kind of activity is going on. And this is something that we need to know about, and we need to see if we can change or perhaps put an end to that in some way. Well, are you aware that black water is in hot water? They're in hot water because they appear to have some loose cannons in their organization. Black water provides security for some of our people in Iraq, and they carry some very devastating weapons. These are mercenaries who are hired guns. The company's home is, I believe, in Virginia, and we have thousands of these persons in Iraq, and they're loose cannons. I saw a video in a movie that I'll be talking about later that showed a Blackwater person listening to music, train, train, and he's shooting these cars behind him randomly. He's killing people randomly in the cars behind him, just shooting one after another. Cars that show no apparent risk at all to the individual who's doing the shooting. And it's like he's playing a video game or something. You know, that these people he's shooting are just, you know, they're just something on a screen. They're not people. Well, is that the kind of person you want representing you? Hey, these people are representative of Americans and what Americans are like and what we value. Does that make sense? Is that what we're about? I think that's ridiculous. These Blackwater people are not subject to military law, and they're not subject to Iraqi law. And that's why Iraqis want to kick them out. And in my opinion, probably rightfully so. Are you aware of the problems with credit card debt in America? It is a huge problem. We get credit cards in the mail. How many of you out there have received credit cards in the mail that you did not apply for? They just send them to you and say, here, hey, we're giving you a special deal. Here's our credit card, 3.5% interest for the first 6 months. And then after that, of course, it's 17% to 29% or 27%, but they get you off, started off with a low percentage. And you didn't even ask for them. They just mail them to you. Or they send you applications and say, hey, you're a good candidate. Fill this out, send it in, we'll give you a credit card with, you know, limits of maybe $5,000 to $10,000 in credit. And they go to colleges. These credit companies go to colleges. They have booths there. So when school starts, these young kids who are coming there who are facing very high costs of education, and they're handing out credit cards to these kids. Kids who have absolutely no history with credit and no training, no education about how to manage credit. And they give them trinkets, they give them t-shirts or hats or whatever to apply for these credit cards. This one girl said she applied. She had no credit history. She was 18 years old, and they gave her a credit card with a $10,000 spending limit. She said she went out in the next few months and spent over $7,000 on that credit card, and then got another credit card and started charging on it. And this is something that they try to get the young people started in so that they will become lifetime credit persons, people who are in debt to credit cards for their life. This is a billion, I mean, the credit companies make billions of dollars annually on credit cards. And now that they're targeting young people along with the rest of us, these young people are getting into credit binds that they can't possibly get out of. And naturally, the Bush administration recently passed a bill, a law, which makes it much, much harder than before to file for bankruptcy. So if these people are getting into serious trouble, and maybe you've seen these advertisements for credit cards that make it seem like, oh, hey, it's not money, it's plastic. You know, use it to buy your hamburgers, your french fries, and oh, if you're using money, hey, you're slowing down the process here. You're an oddball. There's something wrong with you. And they show these credit cards like the family at the ball game, and they use their credit card to get their food or their drinks or their program and for their tickets and whatever. You know, they give the price of it, and then they say, a family sharing experience together at the ballpark, priceless. Like it doesn't cost anything, and you're doing the right thing by following these family values, which involves being in credit card debt. I mean, it's goofy, but they do it. And they know what they're doing when they're advertising. They are playing to your subconscious, to our subconscious. And it's a very big problem in this country. And you hear a lot of advertisements on the radio and TV. If you're $5,000 or $10,000 in debt to credit cards, you know, come to us and we'll show you how to get out of debt, da-da-da-da-da-da. And of course, we're going to charge you for what we do to help you. So it's, you know, it's a racket. And hey, some of these credit card companies, the mafia ain't got anything on them. I mean, the mafia doesn't charge that high a credit. And then, of course, you've got these check cashing companies, too, that are on every corner in poor neighborhoods who are cashing checks towards next month's paycheck or next week's paycheck and charging outlandish credit or interest on those. In any event, you look at some of these things and you say, well, do we have a democratic form of government? No. Do we have a republic form of government? No. What do we have? We have a lobbyocracy where lobbyists purchase influence, and the credit card companies are the strongest lobby in Washington, D.C. They have won laws being passed which allow them to operate in states where they pay hardly any income taxes and things like that. They're the largest lobby interest in Washington, D.C. And of course, the other lobbyists, they buy influence for their companies. The senators and congressmen receive funds for their campaigns, and they're expected to come through for those who give them the money. And in most cases, if not all, they do. Is that the kind of government we want? Is that the kind of government you want? Well, if you don't, become an active, informed American citizen and let your government representatives know that that's not what you like or what you want. Did any of you watch the Oprah Winfrey show? I believe it was yesterday, Thursday. They had Michael Moore on again, who did the movie Sicko. They had an economics professor, and I can't remember if he was from Columbia or Princeton, but he was a professor at one of those universities, professor of economics. And there was a spokesman for the healthcare industry, a woman. And not that it's important that she was a woman, she's a spokesman for the industry. I'm just letting you know that. In any event, this spokesperson for the healthcare industry said that they had approved 5 billion claims in the U.S. last year. The reason she said this was because Michael Moore and others on the show were talking about how people had been denied claims for treatments, for diagnostic testing and things like that, that cost them their lives. They had not been denied by the healthcare industry, the companies. And this was outrageous. Well, she said that, you know, that they had approved 5 billion claims in this country last year. Well, Michael Moore did the math in his head real quickly and said, oh, really? That's 17 claims per person in the United States. And that's for every man, woman, and child from birth age day one to however old they are. Every single person, they approved 17 per person in this country. Do you believe that? I find that hard to believe. Well, she also said that they only denied about 3% of the claims that are made in this country each year. Do you know how many people that is? Multiply it, 0.03 times 5 billion. That's 150 million. 150 million claims they denied. Does this person know what that means, other than the fact that it means more profits for the healthcare companies? Should we really be demanding that a profit be made on the diseases of others, the health problems of people? Is that what our country's about, where we leave millions of people without health insurance because they can't afford it, and we leave even more millions of people with health insurance that is inadequate? It does not cover enough. And did you know that health problems are the number one cause of bankruptcy in this country, and that it's also the number one cause of homelessness? What does this say about Americans, about us, about you, about me, about what kind of a people we are? Are we the kind of people who say, me, 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 as long as I'm okay, who cares? You know, hey, I got my health insurance. Who gives a hoot about whether somebody else does? You know, the guy who works at the service station mini mart, whether his child is covered by health insurance. And the numbers of people who die in this country each year because they're denied health care is astounding. And when it's one of your loved ones, then it's a crime. Well, the economics professor from Columbia said that calling health care socialism, which is one of the things that the Republican Party likes to do, is call it socialism, because after all, communism and socialism are like the same thing in their view. Well, he says that's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. And as a matter of fact, Michael Moore said that a better term for universal health care is Christianity. Because Jesus asked, and I paraphrase here, "When I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was naked, did you clothe me? When I had no shelter, did you provide me shelter?" And then Michael Moore asked, "What would Jesus do?" What do you think? I think it's time for national health care where everyone's covered. If you're interested in watching segments of Oprah's show on the internet, you can go to oprah.com and click on the various segments and watch them. They really are worth watching, just to get a better sense of what we face and what we need to do in this country in terms of health care. Well, again, this is the Bob Marley Ghost Show here on KQRP 106.1 FM and KQRP.com on the internet. I'm your host, and I thank you for tuning in. This is community radio, a radio that's designed to give people in the local community a voice. This is democracy in action. This is a low-power station run by people in your own community who provide different points of view about either national, international, or local issues. One of the people on this radio talks mainly about local issues, and that's good. I tend to talk more about state issues and national issues, but once in a while I will talk about a local issue. And I'm happy to do announcements about local events. If you want to get in touch with me to do that, you can send it to care of Bob Marley's Ghost, P.O. Box 612, Salida, 95368. Again, that's P.O. Box 612, Salida, 95368. Tune us in on KQRP.com. If you're passing through and your home is out of the listening radius for KQRP, you can tune us in there and listen to the radio shows. I recently saw a movie titled No End in Sight at the State Theater in Modesto. And by the way, it's still playing there. You can check it out in the newspaper. If you get a chance, go see it and take a friend with you. It's important to be knowledgeable about things, and especially about the war in Iraq. What this movie does is it exposes the lack of planning, the poor planning, and the poor execution of planning in Iraq. And when you see it, you're going to have a much better understanding of why we have such a quagmire there, and why we have had such a mess, and why it remains that way. Many of the members of the diplomatic corps, the military, and the press in Iraq are interviewed in this movie. And you can keep your head in the sand, or you can see this film and become an enlightened citizen, an educated citizen, an informed citizen, as is your duty in our lobbyocracy. In any event, go see it. No End in Sight at the State Theater. I think you'll find it an interesting and informative movie. One thing that bothered me when I was at the State Theater watching this movie was that I didn't see hardly any persons in there who were under the age of 45. And I asked myself, where are the young people in this country on important issues like the Iraq War? Maybe they're at the mall looking at the latest fashions, or shopping for the latest electronic gadget, or playing video games, or maybe they're dancing at local nightclubs, partying, or whatever. But where are they when it appears that someone in our schools is failing miserably in their duty to teach students the responsibility to be informed and active participants in government, active participants in democracy. We'd be closer to having democracy if we had that. However, they're being taught very well that they must and how they must fit into the corporate-run workaday world, where they serve as the disposable parts of production lines or service cubicles. They seem to be getting educated very well there. Did you know that Big Brother is watching you? I mean, more than ever. Americans are having their personal privacy invaded by tapping our phones, reading our emails, videotaping us in all kinds of different places, whether it's at the bank, it's at a federal building, a state building, on the street corner in your community, or whatever, and trying to find out what you're reading and what you're watching. You know, there's a clock that's supposed to give us an idea of how close we are to atomic warfare that says we're about 4 or 5 seconds from midnight's doom. If there was a clock for our approach to Big Brother government of George Orwell's 1984, I would suggest that we're about 3 seconds from midnight's doom. And if you haven't read George Orwell's 1984, I strongly recommend it. I also strongly recommend that if you have Dish TV, that you watch Link TV and Democracy Now! There are some very good programs on there that give you points of view that you won't find anywhere else. Well, I watched the Democrats. They had another debate the other night. The primary thing that I took away from that debate was how much alike they are and how they would govern. There's not much variety there. They constantly agreed with one another, and only Dennis Kucinich said how he would withdraw troops from Iraq immediately. Mr. Kucinich, however, was for the most part ignored by the moderator, Tim Russert. And this has been a pattern in all the Democrats' debates so far. They pretty much don't ask him questions or ask for his responses. And that's unfortunate. In any event, it was a debate that left a lot of questions in my mind, because the three front runners would not say that all of our troops would be out of Iraq by the end of their first term. That was disturbing to me. Well, you know, there's one Republican congressman from Texas who's taking some interesting stands, but he, like Kucinich, is getting little or no attention from the press or at the Republican candidate debates. And his name is Ron Paul. He says he's a strict constitutionalist and that lobbyists never visit him in Congress because he never supports any bill that violates the Constitution or gives handouts to their bosses, regardless of who they are. He says that if elected, he will bring the troops home now. Stop the looting of Social Security. Save $1 trillion overseas, reducing our debt, helping veterans, children, and seniors, and cutting taxes. He will end forced health screenings and vaccinations. Fight for freedom to choose health care. Stop corporate welfare polluters. Protect our privacy and civil liberties. Stop the national ID card. And oppose internet taxes and regulation. If you're interested in more information about Ron Paul and his candidacy, you can go to his internet site, which is http://www.ronpaul2008.com. That's www.ronpaul2008.com for more information about his candidacy and what he stands for. You're listening to the Bob Marley Ghost Show here on KQRP 106.1 FM and KQRP.com on the internet. The opinions expressed in this particular program are not necessarily those of the management. This is Community Radio. This is Democracy in Action. Thank you for tuning in. In another strong show of support by the Bush administration for our veterans, where the veterans of the Persian Gulf War are having serious illnesses as well as problems like chronic severe fatigue, well, the Defense Department is in denial about the causes and have been very slow to treat these problems. In an article in a local newspaper, it says, U.S. denies Gulf veterans disease. And I quote, 16 years after the Persian Gulf War ended, more than one in four of those who fought remain seriously ill with medical problems ranging from severe fatigue and joint pain to Lou Gehrig's disease, multiple sclerosis, and brain cancer, the chairman of the Congressional Advisory Committee testified Tuesday. But even as more is learned about what now is called Gulf War veterans' illness, the Defense Department and the Department of Veteran Affairs remain in virtual denial about the causes and have been slow to offer treatment. James Bin says, this is a tragic record of failure, and the time lost can never be regained. This government manipulation of science and violation of law to devalue the health problems of ill veterans is something I would not have believed possible in this country until I took this job. Pentagon and VA officials defended their approach to studying and treating the illnesses. Huh, is that a surprise? You know, the Bush administration says that they stand behind our veterans and how much they value them, and at every turn, they deny them the care and services that they need. You know, talk is cheap. That's why there's so much of it. In any event, although the focus was on the earlier Gulf War, there are some concerns about the medical problems, which are very similar, that our veterans who are coming home from Iraq are facing, and those who will come home from Iraq in the future are facing. You know, it's a huge number of persons, 700,000 of the U.S. troops who served in the Persian Gulf War, who are sick. 175,000 to 200,000 of them are sick. Imagine how many we're going to have sick coming home from Iraq. And the reasons being that they're being exposed to things like sarin gas, weapons, you know, bullets that have been made using low-level radiation from uranium. Radiation causes cancer. It's kind of interesting, but also shameful. What do you think? You know, the Republicans are the champions of dirty tricks. Let me give you a few examples here, why I say that. And there, you know, they're so much better at it than the Democrats. Democrats just cannot come up with the money in many cases, or the ideas, the twisted ideas that Republicans can. Example, the Swift boat incident, where during the election campaign, Kerry was charged with a lot of absurd things about his service on a boat in the Mekong Delta in Vietnam. It was a hit piece that was done by Republicans with a lot of money. He had several Purple Hearts in that country for his service there. And how about the attack on Senator McCain in the 2000 primary in South Carolina? He had just won a primary, and he had garnered about 19 electoral votes or whatever they do in that election, and he went into South Carolina as the front runner and with a lot of momentum going against the Bush candidacy. Well, the Bush people did some research on Senator McCain, and they found out that he and his wife had adopted a child from one of the countries in Southeast Asia, Bangladesh, I think it was, a dark-skinned child. They had adopted this child. Well, the Republicans turned on him like piranhas, and they started a rumor that this child was actually an illegitimate child of Senator McCain. And they started making phone calls to McCain's supporters and saying, would you support him if you knew that he was the illegitimate father of this child? Well, history shows us that McCain lost there, and Bush went on to become the nominee. What's funny to me is that McCain just sort of passes that aside today and still, you know, talks, it says that he supports all this Bush administration policies today. But they attacked him. And then in California here, just recently, they want to change the electoral system that we have here in California that gives all of our electoral votes to the winner in the presidential elections. 53 electoral votes. They wanted to give them two and then have the rest of them done by district in California, whichever candidate won the district. Well, they were estimating that that would give the Republicans about 23 electoral votes in California, and that that would put them over the top in the next election. Fortunately, it appears that that's been derailed, but it's just an example of another dirty trick on their part, because California in the last four presidential elections has voted for the Democrat who was running. Well, another example of their dirty tricks, and I read this in the League of Women Voters magazine. It's an article by a gentleman named Michael Slater, and it's titled Voter Fraud. Well, here's what he says. He says that the attack came out of nowhere, and it was devastating. When it was over, Democrat Harriet Miller had lost her rematch for a state house seat representing parts of Houston, Texas, to incumbent Republican Tony Goolsbee. On October 23rd, just 2 weeks before the 2006 election, the Harris County Republican Party chairman wrote to the district attorney on Goolsbee's behalf, claiming that Miller had committed voter fraud in her first race against Goolsbee 2 years earlier. He asked for an investigation, but more importantly, he alerted the media to this allegation. While the district attorney never responded, CBS News did. They ran a 3-minute story reporting the allegations of voter fraud had been lodged against Miller. The Goolsbee campaign had all it needed. In the next 10 days, the Goolsbee campaign sent out at least 5 pieces of direct mail to voters in the district, trumpeting the fact that Miller was under investigation and citing CBS News as the source. On election day, door hangers greeted voters as they left their homes with the message that Miller was, quote, a liberal and, quote, under investigation for voter fraud. Never mind the fact that Miller denied the charges and the local Democratic Party debunked the claims. Never mind the fact that charges were not brought against Miller. The damage had been done. Harriet Miller became the latest victim of politics of voter fraud. Well, it's interesting because there are several states, who have passed laws against voter fraud, and these people who got these laws passed are actually the ones who are committing the voter fraud. They're trying to disenfranchise voters, people who are eligible to vote, but they pass rules that make it very difficult or impossible for them to register and or vote. And I read here, still there's a well-funded, well-organized campaign underway to make Americans believe that voter fraud is a serious problem. Allegations of voter fraud, however baseless, are used by partisans to build public support for laws and regulations that make it more difficult for minorities and low-income voters to cast their ballots. The same tactics used by Goolsbee to push voters away from Miller are used by political operatives to justify the disenfranchisement of specific groups of Americans. I wonder why. It goes on. One favored tactic is to form organizations that claim to protect voting rights, but instead work tirelessly to keep claims of fraud in the news, and then offer solutions that happen to disenfranchise voters likely to support their opponents. Duh. The Voting Integrity Project, now doesn't that sound positive, is one example. Active from 1996 to 2001, the Voting Integrity Project trained activists to challenge voters in urban minority areas and help pioneer the field of electronic voter purges. So what they would do, for example, like in Florida, was they would get these lists of names and compare them to the names of persons who had been incarcerated, who had committed felonies in the state. And even if there were slight differences or the middle initial was not the same, they would purge them from the databanks of the computers. And when those persons showed up who had names that were different but close, they were denied the right to vote on the basis that they had committed a felony, which they had not. So it disenfranchised a lot of black voters in Florida and, of course, helped Mr. Bush win his presidency. You know, dirty tricks by the Republicans. Well, more recently, high-ranking officials with the Bush-Cheney 2000 presidential campaign, the Republican National Committee, and the Republican National Lawyers Association joined forces to form the American Center for Voting Rights. ACVR attorneys took every opportunity to testify before Congress and federal commissions that allegations about voter fraud and inflated voter rolls and lobbied hard for restrictive voter ID laws. Well, they passed such laws in New Mexico, Arizona, Missouri, and Illinois. Now, those laws have been challenged in the courts, and I'll talk about where it's at in that regard in a moment. But they challenged these things, and then all of a sudden, a funny thing happened. As the media began to scrutinize the role of these voter fraud investigations played in the politicized firings of nine U.S. attorneys, including a couple of people named Iglesias and Graves. You know those attorneys, that U.S. attorneys that were fired by Gonzalez? It was because they refused to get into line and challenge the rights of these people to vote. In any event, they are trying to get laws that will profoundly have a negative effect on minorities and low-income Americans and the elderly to prevent them from voting. Is that the kind of country we like? Is that democracy? Is that the Republicans' ideas of democracy and giving people a voice in their government to go out and do dirty tricks to try to keep them from voting? Well, when it comes to claims of voter fraud and the accompanying solutions to the problem, Americans need to adopt some good advice from the marketplace. Caveat emptor. Buyer beware. Purveyors of voter fraud allegations deserve all the suspicion Americans normally reserve for used car salesmen. Tough questions are in order. What's the evidence? Who's making the claim or proposal? What's their agenda? Closer scrutiny might well reveal that the real perpetrators of voter fraud are the ones making the claims. And I said that it's in the courts right now. It's in the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is going to decide whether some of these laws that have been passed by the state, some of the lower courts have already said that it's constitutional, but the Supreme Court is now going to decide on that. And the scary thing is that the Supreme Court, as you know, has had a lot of 5-4 decisions lately. The five conservative justices voting conservatively and the five that aren't conservative voting and many of the 5-4 decisions. So this court may say, yes, it's constitutional to come up with rules that disenfranchise the poor, the elderly, and the minorities, such as the blacks and the Latinos. Keep your eyes open and your ears open for more Republican dirty tricks. In closing, I would like once again to remind all the listeners out there in the audience about the possibility of a false flag operation sometime between now and the end of next summer. Remember, a false flag operation is an act of government against its own people by an agency such as the CIA in order to inflame its citizens against a prescribed enemy such as Iran. Well, don't become a sheep guided by pure emotion if such an event should occur. Be skeptical until all the information has been gathered and analyzed. Become an informed citizen before jumping to conclusions and ask yourself all of the necessary questions about who gains from such an event and why. And I say, follow the money. Thanks for tuning in. This has been the Bob Marley Ghost Show, and I appreciate that you have tuned in. Please tune us in again. And thank you very much. Until next time, this is Bob Marley's Ghost, signing off.